Good morning and happy Columbus Day, and I hope with the same spirit we'll find a destination on our spiritual map today to move forward. As I mentioned a few weeks ago, that the Psalms 120 through 134 are known as the Psalms of Ascensions, or other words, moving up or climbing the steps. Geographically, Jerusalem was a city on a hill, and spiritually, it was the dream to be when every time the Jews struggled with something. It was the place when every time they felt they are deeply needed a place of comfort and a place of familiarity which they can relate to. In Psalm 122, we can see the pain that the Jews felt in the exile and how they felt their heart was were aching and yearning to be home in Jerusalem. And in other words, they were feeling really homesick. In Psalm 122, we see God gave them the dream to go to the holy city and to meet their need. But when they went there, what they experienced the fear and risk on the road. Moving from the exile to a place they call home was difficult. But as we see moving in Psalm 122, we can hear the joy of being there in the house of the Lord, inside the holy city. And last week we talked about Psalm 123. After they spent some time in Jerusalem, they faced another challenge. When they saw the image they formed in their own head, it was not the same as what they are seeing right now. They saw an image they had about the holy city is so far and not close to the reality. It's not the same city that they heard about from their ancestors. It's not the city that's surrounded by wonderful things and walls and wonderful walls inside and outside the temples. It's a place of ruins. This way, we hear deep cry to God in Psalm 123. And we can see an open end in Psalm 123. We didn't know if God responded or not. We heard all over 123 is somebody and a group crying for help. And as if the psalmist tried to give us an open end and not giving us what's really God going to do. But today in Psalm 124, we can see God's work to rescue his people from these crises, the internal and the external crisis, the one they saw by eyes but affected their spirit. In the psalm, we can see the different way to review the past and the history in general as a love story, a true love story, not the one we see on TV. Not the one maybe we read in the stories, but a love story that sometimes faces struggles and hard times. And this love story is between God and his people. And I think the use of the word if in this psalm is an amazing way of using the word if. The use of word if is very interesting because when we use the word if in present or future, we are experiencing conditional relationship. Like we tell our children, if you do this, I'll give you this. And if you don't do this, I will not do this. But like if you do this, I will give you this. And when we use it in the past, just remember, we always refer to something we regret. We wish if we did this or not. But the psalmist here is using if in an amazing way of reviewing the past, as saying, what if what happened to us didn't happen? And it's just kind of like turning the whole way of thinking around from thinking from regretting what happened or what could happen to actually honor what happened in our past. The psalmist is using the word if in the most powerful way to review history in the light of what happened, what we had. He's reminding them and us today, can you imagine our past without God's work? Could you imagine you live your life in the past without God's work in your life? In other words, he is grateful to what happened because it gave them the opportunity to see God's hand. Maybe at the moment, you cannot see what's God doing in your life. But when we have the time to process things, then we can go back and review the past with a lot of appreciation to God and to his work in our life. In verses 1 through 5, God is the true source of security, and the psalmist repeated this statement all over the psalm. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, and he's reminding them about an awful images they all remember. All the earth is shaking from a wild beast. The earth is shaking from an army coming from the south or an army coming from the north, and experiences a lot of being frightened. But he reminded them, but you're still here. Even there are some armies, they are not strong as they were in the past. The oppressor is not exist anymore. You were tiny and small, but you are here and you exist. And we see using this word if is to remind us that every believer could not avoid the confrontation with difficult things in life. But we can live in hope and by faith that in the middle of all these, we can see God as the protector of every evil and from every evil. The psalmist gave us the reason to trust God when he gave us these three metaphors. The first image we see here about the evil people as a huge wild beast looking for anybody to attack. The reason to exist in this life is to prey on other people's life. I think we can see the awfulness result when people depend on themselves and turn to have the spirit of a beast. While maybe we can be afraid from this an image, but also we could feel broken for their loss, for leaving themselves to be in this way. Even with their capacity to spread fear around their community, and to kill people's joy. But this was because they lost the essence of being a human being. They lost being in touch with why they exist as a human being. They choose power and authority because they could not handle to be vulnerable. They could not handle to go through the experience of not knowing what could happen. They could not handle not to be in control. This group of believers, the other side of the story, brought their fears and struggle to God, their vulnerability to God, where they found that depending on God is the real miracle and is the true place for safety. And the second metaphor is about the strong stream. And I want to remind all of you, until today there are many countries in the Middle East depend on the rain as the only source of water. One day people will pray for rain and pray very hard, asking God for too much rains. And when the rain becomes too much, they won't be a pray again for God to stop the rain. And they will be afraid from the strong streams coming from the mountains, and it's strong enough to destroy villages and houses and to kill people. And this image was a real image people experienced. And I remember even in my life, I experienced this image with many villages in Egypt who were built down in the valley. And when the rain comes, make a big channels, and it really became a very threatening, huge stream that destroys life and houses. So this is an awful image, but they know it. And he's reminding them. This image is something known and experienced by people who were frozen in the front of a scary scene. Like this, when they see the streams coming down, they don't know what to do. They have no time even to run far away. But they don't know how they survived this hard experience. They were saved and from, they didn't know where they got the wisdom, where they got this in less than a second reaction to react in the right way and to run to the right place. And I'm sure we all have this moment in our life where we didn't know. It's not because we are too intelligent. It's not because we are really, we made the math before and we know if this happened, I will do this, and if this happened, how many times in our life goes away from our plans. And this is the image, is the psalmist is reminding these people, remember you were saved because God helped you. The psalmist reminds them, our true hope comes from the Creator of heaven and earth, who deserve every thanks and gratitude from us. And in the last part of the psalm, we can hear the voice of thanksgiving very loud. And it came from their deep appreciation and from deep heart. God saved us from evil and the people who were used as an instrument of evil. And in verse 7, we can see the great image of how God saved us. We have escaped like a bird from the snare. The snare is broken, and we have escaped. We have been like birds taken in the snare or net, but now we are escaped. Not, however, of our own strings, of our own cleverness. The snare is broken for us by God's providence, and so we are escaped. In this verse, we can see that as God's people, God gave us the chance to be free and act as a free bird, free being. Some people couldn't believe that God can free us from the snare. But really, you are not any more tied. Maybe you were in the past. We didn't need to act in the present and the future if we were tied to the snare and we cannot fly away. Just try. Trust God. Try to run away from this trap. Some people miss the chance to see major events in their lives as a normal, and they see it is just happening in life, and they didn't take it too serious. And some people will call it maybe coincidence, happening every day. And I cannot blame anybody to take it this way. But I think as a people of God, as a people of faith, there are different ways we can review what's happened and what will happen in our life. It's not coincidence. It's not just happen. It's not because life said its words, but because God is working in our life. We have the chance to review our life events as God's intervention to help us to get up and fly. To get up and walk as a children of God, to move forward as free person who believes in God of the past, the present, and the future. And how many times the Church of Christ, during the whole history, went through difficult times and severe danger. But we learned that through 2,000 years, God never left His Church alone. God never left them to really to be destroyed. And from the history of our church, PBC, we can see how God acted in the right time to turn a small congregation to a Providence Presbyterian church. A story of Christianity and a story of PBC is about a group of believers who turned their struggle and challenge to be the seeds of a new beginning. That only way that's not only survived, but also flourished as a story of faith and a witness of hope. Amen.